Hi, everyone, and welcome to Inside ADWAI. My name is Rebecca Matter, and we are going to overcome writer procrastination with a very cool five-step plan. I am joined today by my wonderful partner, Katie Yackel. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, everybody.
And our director of training, Pam Foster. Hi, Pam.
Hi there.
And our awesomely wonderful chief success officer here at ADWAI, Ted Capshaw. Hello, Mr. Capshaw.
Hey, Rebecca, and everybody. We have a good crew on today.
It's going to be a great crew. I'm excited for this session because I may look productive on the outside, but I am a horrible procrastinator. And having worked with Ted for a few years, I personally have learned some of the things that he's going to teach you today that I've implemented in my own life and have seen a big change. I'm the kind of person who always waited until the last minute to do the book report, to study for the test, and even today, when I have a big project, I like to put that pressure on myself to wait to the last second. And when we do that, not only does it overwhelm us, but we don't find the forward momentum that we would like. So in this session, I know that's a theme across the board, especially this time of year. New Year's resolutions, I've already fallen off mine. I'm sure many of you have fallen off yours, but that's why we're here. So what we're gonna cover today in this session with Ted is to overcome that overwhelm, that feeling of there's just so much, right? I mean, this opportunity that you have signed on for, this idea of making a living as a writer is huge. It is life-changing. It can give you the freedom to live your life as you desire, where you want to live, when you want to work, however you want your life to look. It can give you the freedom to live that life. But to get there, it takes work, right? And there's a lot of things that we have to do to get there. But along the way, there are so many opportunities to make money as a writer these days, so many different paths that we could take, so much we want to do. Having worked for ADWAI for over 15 years now, I have wanted to be so many types of writers. Every promotion that I read, every program, every expert that I talk to, by the end, I'm, yes, I want to be that. I want to be a travel writer and a grant writer and a resume writer and B2B. I want to be all of these things. There's just so much. So a lot of times, we get paralyzed. We're overwhelmed by all of the choices. So Ted is going to help us figure that out today so we can start moving forward. He has a five-step plan he's going to go through. And in the end, what you will do is walk away with this ability to make small incremental changes that will ultimately lead you to where you want to be so that we can get there and achieve a sustainable and satisfying writer's life where it won't just be a dream, but rather something that we're moving forward to every single day. And at the very end, we'll open up with questions. Katie and I will actually be in the Q&A. If you're live on this webinar now, we'll be in the Q&A answering as many questions as we can. If we skip your question, it's just because we're gonna hold it till the end to ask Ted, and then Pam and Ted will be driving this webinar for today. But real quick, just a few words about Ted Capshaw. Ted, I'll let you give your background, but just a quick personal note from me. Katie and I met Ted about a few years ago, it might actually be 4 years by now, he was introduced to us by Mark Ford, who is one of ADWAI's founders. Many of you know him under the pen name Michael Masterson. He came to us and said, this guy, Ted Capshaw, he's doing amazing things over at Agora. I think you guys should talk to him. So Katie and I called Ted up and we'll talk to him. Don't know what this is about, but we'll talk to him. It took us a few minutes. And right away, we thought, oh, this guy could help us. We had a wonderful company, ADWAI. We loved what we did. We loved our employees. We loved our members. We loved helping you on a regular basis. But Ted came in and just made it all easier. He helped us communicate. He helped us clarify what are the core values of our company? What are we trying to accomplish? We say we want to change lives and do great things, but how are we actually going to do that? He gave us a language. He gave us a culture and really has helped us be better communicators so that we can internally at ADWAI move forward and help you achieve your goals faster. So I'm so excited. I've worked with him personally, both on the ADWAI business as well as personally on myself, on my own issues with procrastination and being a leader. And he is a wonderful teacher, a wonderful friend, and I'm grateful to have him here today. I'm going to hand things over to him in just a second, but this is basically the five-step plan that he's going to go over. He's going to show you how to bust past the transition curve, which I'm excited. I know what it is, but I'm excited for you to understand what that is. Make the 1% rule work in your favor. He'll show you how to set SMART goals, will get momentum going by blocking. This one is huge. This is something that I personally do and use with every one of my employees who ever says, this is something we recommend our employees do whenever they say, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I'm feeling overworked, I can't get it done. This will show you exactly how you can get it done. And then win that personal war that keeps you paralyzed. So we all have one that's in our head that we have to fight on a regular basis, but TED will help you overcome that. So with that, TED, I'm going to hand the ball over to you.
Thank you, my friend. All right. Good day, everybody. I guess I'll start with, you know, Rebecca said, tell you guys a little bit about myself. And without going through my, you saw that was my LinkedIn profile page there. And without giving you my qualifications, I think in to speak relative to what we're going to talk today, what you guys need to know about me is that I live my life with a high level of urgency. Right next to that, I'd say I live my life with a high level of conviction. But for today's conversation, I think you need to know that I live my life with a high level of urgency. Now, when I say that, I think most would think that because I use the word urgent, and urgent for many people creates stress, some may think that I wake up most mornings feeling overwhelmed, as Rebecca already noted, feeling stressed, looking like a deer in the headlights, running around with my head cut off every day. And my life is the exact opposite. And so the very first thing that I want to talk about today is creating urgency in your life through purpose. And while this, we cannot make this, because this point could be the whole webinar, and we're really going to go into some baseline things today. But if you've heard me speak, or you've read anything that I've written online, you know, a lot of my urgency came from losing my father 20 years ago. That urgency for me could easily be translated into, I live a life of intention with a high degree of focus every day. And so my every day is spent on talking to the people that I need to talk about, surrounding myself with the right people, doing the things that I absolutely need to get done in a day to not only do the things that I need to do to be successful, but also to feel fulfilled. The line that I use in my own head that I often coach people on is, you need to keep the main thing the main thing. Now, that may seem like a simple statement, but it's actually pretty complex. First of all, you have to decide what the main thing is. And that's a difficult one for many. Many people are just gliding through life. But when you decide what the main thing is, and you know, I have a high degree of conviction, as I said, about what the main things that are in my life are, having to do with my family and my work with amazing companies like AWAI. The more important thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And that's something that I want, if you guys grab nothing else from this webinar, I think you need to grab that you need to spend some time creating urgency in your life, figuring out what the main things are in your life. And are you really spending time in your day moving towards those main things and keeping those things the main thing, the main thing? So that's where I'd like to open up. You need to know that I live with a high degree of urgency, but that does not mean that I'm running around crazy. It actually means that I live a very balanced life, full of intention and focus. So on here, we have a question that says, did you make a New Year's resolution? And to address that, what I'll say to you is, I woke up this morning, I got my two beautiful sons ready for school, and I kissed my wife goodbye, and I headed to the gym. And I had an amazing workout. I was actually emailing Pam Foster this morning from the treadmill. The reason I had an amazing workout was the gym was virtually empty. Now, the reason I bring this up about this New Year's resolutions is we have this webinar going on today on purpose, just about a month and a half into the new year, because from our view, this is when most New Year's resolutions fall off. And evidence of that is the gym was fairly empty this morning. A month ago, the gym was packed, and it was not such a great workout for me when I was showing up. And so I want you guys to start thinking about this idea of when you go to make change in your life, where you go to approach these different courses at AWAI or attend a boot camp at AWAI or just create this writer's life, which is a grandiose thought. Are you approaching it in the same way that millions of Americans approach New Year's resolutions? And what we're going to say is that's not the right approach. And I think you'll know what I'm saying by the end of this webinar. New Year's resolutions often fall off. The verbiage that I use is oftentimes by Valentine's Day, which is next week, most people's New Year's resolutions have fallen off. And so we want to give you a couple thinking points in the next 45 minutes or so that will get you off the idea that you need to create these grandiose New Year's resolutions that, quite frankly, very often fail. Before I get into this idea of this, and I know Rebecca already noted this, but please, I know this is a webinar, but your questions are important to us. And if we can make this as much of a discussion as we can, I know there's almost 300 people on here, but let's try to do that. So the very first thing that I want to go through is what we call the transition curve. Now, you could call this the change curve or the transition curve, but I want you to start to imagine a time in your life that you embarked on creating some change in your life. You know, I noted that many people try to create health change, but for the purpose of today, I want you to remember when, if you're on this webinar, I'm going to make the assumption that somewhere along the line here, whether it be last year or even in the past few months here, you decided that you wanted to create a writer's life. And whatever that definition is for you, but you wanted to create a writer's life, meaning you wanted to create some change in your life, whether that be leave a job or just make extra income, whatever it means, you wanted to create a change. Now, what I want to show you here with this change curve, the main point of this change curve is this is the evolution, the psychology behind what goes on in all of our minds anytime that we embark on change. And you will travel this change curve many times in 2019. But what we want to do is create some awareness for you. And there's a part in this change curve that we're gonna spend special attention to, because this is where real change happens. So this first part, you decided to take an AWAI course. You decided to hit the gym, whatever the change that you desired. When you made that, or when you first initially reached out to AWAI, my guess is you got pretty pumped up. Adrenaline was going, you felt positive, you felt like, man, I've made the step and I'm getting ready to create some change in my life. And what we call that at AWAI is uninformed optimism. And what we mean by that is you really don't know what it's going to take to creator's life yet. You have an idea, you've heard some verbiage from AWAI, you talked to a trainer at the gym and whatever it may be, but you really don't know because you haven't started traveling down that path yet. Therefore, it's uninformed. The problem with uninformed optimism is shortly after you start traveling down that journey, you reach this informed pessimism part on the transition curve. Informed pessimism, all those people that were not at the gym this morning when I went there, that were there in early January, they reached this point, meaning in January, that first week, they were all pumped up and they were thinking to themselves, I'm going to feel good. I'm going to have more energy. I'm going to lose a couple inches around my waistline, whatever it may be. If you signed up for an AWAI course and you were pumped up and then you realized, oh, wait a minute, they're asking me to write every day for 45 minutes in this course. I don't have time to do that. And then you started to realize that this is actually going to take a consistent amount of effort and work and faith in AWAI, and you might have became a little bit pessimistic. Now, this is an important part of the curve here, what we call crisis of meaning. So most people, when they start to create change, they get pumped up, and then all of a sudden pessimism starts to sink in. Crisis of meaning is this critical spot in creating change in your life or traveling down this path of creating a writer's life. This is the critical part where you have a decision to make. And the decision is, am I going to take that dotted line here and crash and burn like the many people that weren't at the gym this morning? Or to hit you in between the eyes a little bit, if you're on this webinar and you're doing nothing with the AWAI courses, if you're doing nothing as an individual to really pursue your writer's life, this might be where you are right now, crisis of meaning. And you know, the word procrastination is in the title of this webinar. this is where a lot of people procrastinate, because they start realizing that to create change in their life, it's going to take a lot of effort, and they hit this crisis of meaning, and unfortunately, many people crash and burn. What I want to promote to you right now is the most successful people and the people that are living the most fulfilled life have taken advantage of this spot in this change curve, crisis of meaning, and they start to realize this is natural, number one. Anytime you're going to create change, that if you reach this part, it's not doom or gloom. It's actually the most critical part in the change curve. And you travel up the curve. So in between there, the crisis of meaning and informed optimism, that's where the real work is. And that's what I want you guys to grab from this transition curve. When you hit that crisis of meaning and traveling up to informed optimism meaning you actually, you now realize that it was going to take this work and you start to get some wins. So in between there is what I call, that's where all the heart and head work and resilience really kicks in. And that's where the work really, so that procrastination starts hitting at crisis of meaning. You want to pay attention. And going back to when I really was introducing this change curve, I want you to grab this piece. It's natural. You're a human being. And when you embark on change or trying to create a better life for yourself, you're going to go through this curve. And so when you're feeling down, what I'd want you to do is revisit this curve and realize, okay, I'm a human being. It's natural right now that I'm in a crisis of meaning. I don't know whether to move forward or just completely back off this thing. So Katie, Rebecca, Pam, any comments on this? Because I think this is really critical for everybody to realize this change curve. You have to recognize where you are on this curve and realize completely natural to travel along this curve many times within a year.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind throwing in a little personal anecdote. I was living in the corporate cubicle world for a long time. I was writing, you know, copy. I was doing like internal communications and corporate communications, but I was so miserable in the corporate environment, and I found out about AWAI. And I had a day job and two teenagers in my life. And I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to take time to learn these skills that will allow me to break free from this corporate world I've been in for 25 years, which is my dream. I wanted to get out of that. And so that was a crisis of meaning, because it was like, I work full time and I have two teenagers. How am I going to make this work? It's my dream, but how do I make it work? And like someone posted here, Ian, baby steps. You have to take baby steps. And so, you know, you open up a course and you start on page one and you just find time every day to get through sections and just keep going. And about, it took like 8 months later to actually leave my corporate job. So it wasn't immediate, but I did get there. And it's because I took those baby steps and did realize this is worth it. And you find the time to make it happen. Is that helpful?
I just wanted to add one other point too, that this, you're, like you said, Ted, you're going to go through this in lots of aspects of your life. People go through it with their health goals. I've been through this multiple times in my life on just health goals alone, but you will go through it, as Pam talked about, with the writer's life as you pursue this thing, but you'll go through it in your day job too. If you have a day job, we're talking about this internally with our employees. When you take the new job and you're so excited, and then you realize what the job actually is going to take, it's going to be work. It might be harder than you expected, or if you get promoted or you're making a go at the next level, you experience this in so many aspects of life. And I think that understanding it ahead of time and knowing what's coming does give you a little bit of power, in that you can just recognize, where am I at this point on the curve, and knowing that that's normal. And so the only way to keep moving is to keep taking those steps so I can get to the next point of that curve.
I love it. Because I like the word that you use there, Rebecca, normal. Because when we hit that crisis of meaning, we feel anything but normal. If anybody on the
webinar, we feel like we're failing.
Yeah, you feel like I'm getting ready to fail. I can't do this. I'm seeing other people around me that have achieved the writer's life. It's not for me. Uh-uh. They have been on this curve many times. And that is the main point of this thing. The other thing, just to relate back to what I talked about earlier, this crisis of meaning, and I'll always thread this into when we're talking about this, that sense of urgency and that purpose, that has got to be present in your life when you hit this crisis of meaning. And so I will share with you, you know, as it relates to my father and the urgency in my life, my own evolution as I travel along this curve many, many times. Sometimes I feel like I'm on this curve weekly, and many on this webinar can probably relate to that. But my dad died at 52. I'm turning 48 this year, and I have 5 and 6 year old sons. So I know the reality of what could happen. Now, God willing, that doesn't happen to me, but I got to tell you, like, I use those things as a weapon when I hit those crises of meaning, that I have to live with a certain level of intentionality. And that's what gets me to that informed optimism. So again, this webinar is not to go into the deep psychology of all that stuff, but I never will dismiss the idea of when you're in that crisis of meaning, that purpose, you're going to need that. So we've talked to, you know, I got to say this, I saw somebody, I'm seeing the comments one bite at a time and baby steps, and we're getting ready to transition right to that. Smacky the Grasshopper, I just got to make that comment that somebody is on here with the nickname Smacky the Grasshopper, which gives me a chuckle. I love it. The 1% rule, which you guys are way ahead of the game when you guys are putting these posts up, how do you eat an elephant and baby steps. This 1% rule, when you're in that crisis of meaning, and as Rebecca noted, feeling that overwhelm, this is what I want you to lean into. And when I talked in the early part of this webinar about living a life of urgency, I follow this 1% rule all the time in my life. And so what I want you to think about, what is in your way? Is it time? Is it motivation? The idea of fear, we've discussed that at boot camp for the last several years. That's a big one in many people's way. And even money, when people say, oh, I don't have money to do this. And many of you on this webinar have probably heard the adage, you know, well, then stop going to Starbucks, right? To save that extra couple bucks. Well, Starbucks isn't just a couple bucks, it's far too expensive. That's my own little jab there. But what I'll say, this 1% rule is no different than what people are putting up on the post here. I want you to make small incremental changes in your life. And when I say the 1% rule, you could lean into any of these things: time, motivation, fear, or money. If there's something that you're fearful of, if you're fearful of posting things on LinkedIn or whatever it is, all I'm going to ask you to do is just post one thing a week. If you're saying that you don't have money for an AWAI course, I really want you to do an audit on your finance and put away just 1% of your money a week. If that's $1, if that's $2, and incrementally get to the place where you have enough money to sign up for a course or do whatever you need to do. The time thing, I got to tell you, I'm tough on people with this time thing, and the people at AWAI know this. When people tell me they don't have time, I rarely buy it, because I ask them to do an audit on their time. And what I find is, look, if you're living a purposeful life full of intention and you're going towards this writer's life and you tell me you don't have time, I want to know why you're watching, you know, reruns of Baywatch at night. And could you spend 20 minutes a day, or just, you know, 10 minutes a day writing a paragraph or studying or reading a book or watching a webinar that AWAI is putting on, any of that? And so, you know, everybody's talking about the idea of baby steps and all. The question for me is, are you approaching every day with the 1% rule in your mind? And so, you know, we've talked about the gym, and this is true in my life. Some of you have heard this from me before, but it's just a truth of mine. When I'm out of sync working out, instead of doing 20 minutes of cardio, I'll do 21 minutes of cardio until I feel back in sync. That's the 1% rule in effect. And so for all of you, whatever, if you're procrastinating right now, I'm not asking you to do what many do when they create the New Year's resolutions, which is go all in. I'm not asking you to go all in. That's not a way to overcome fear. That's not a way to grab more time in your day. I'm just asking you to, and we're going to get to this point a little bit deeper in just a few slides here. But what I want you to do is just incrementally create some change in your life. And I want you to give thought to really what is in your way right now. What is making you procrastinate? All right. So around this 1% rule, and I'm going to make the assumption that some of you, if not many of you, have heard this idea of SMART goals. So this is where we get a little bit practical. First of all, again, think about what's in your way. What is making you procrastinate? And then I want you to create some goals around that using the 1% rule. So whether this be, I'm going to write for 10 minutes in the morning, first thing, I'm going to wake up before anybody in my house, and I'm just going to write for 10 minutes. Whatever it may be that's going to move the chains in the right direction for you, I want to walk through this idea of creating SMART goals. Now, this is what I want to say about this. There are many models out there. There are many cliches out there, and there are many acronyms out there that are extremely powerful, and yet we don't pay attention to them or we don't use them. SMART goals has been around for many years. I've talked to many companies in my time about SMART goals. And what's interesting to me is when you come across it, you're like, man, that's really effective. And then I'll go back and sit with somebody as they're creating goals, and they've completely lost the idea of SMART goals. So again, this is easily understood, but not so easily applied. So I want you to grab that, because again, many things that are holding us back, there's just some simple things that we could implement. And that we're not talking about rocket science on this webinar today. We're talking about small, impactful things that could change the trajectory of your life. So the idea of SMART goals, this the first one, S stands for specific. What I'll say about this in my work, who, you know, I spend my days and weeks and months coaching individuals and teams, many people create goals and they're not specific enough. So they just say, I want to become a writer. Well, they think that's a goal. It's not specific. So what do you want to write? Who do you want to write for? How often do you want to write? How much money do you want to make write? How many minutes in a day are you going to write? So going back to the 1% rule. So I want you to think about some goals that you have in your life right now and really hone in on, are they specific enough? The M stands for measurable. So again, this is one that people screw up at work all the time. They'll say things like, I need that ASAP. Well, what does ASAP mean? There is nothing measurable about or specific about ASAP, as soon as possible. That is not specific or measurable. And so again, the easy way to follow the SMART acronym, we go back into that health thing in January. People say, I want to lose weight. I can't help you. I can't hold you accountable to that, because you know, yes, you can measure, are you losing weight, but it's not specific enough. So I want you to make your goals measurable. So if you're going to put a time frame for writing, or you're going to complete an AWAI course, make it measurable. In other words, I'm going to complete an AWAI course by the end of February. That's measurable. Okay. The next one, and I'm going to tell you, this is the one that probably creates the most procrastination and the most confusion and the crisis of meaning on that transition curve than any of these other letters on this acronym, this idea of attainable. So this is, I don't want you going out and creating grandiose goals, because what happens is people often are making these unattainable goals, and that is just the killer. So what happens when people create unattainable goals and they're traveling down the path and they realize, I'm nowhere near meeting that goal, what do they do? They quit. And so when you're making goals, lean into that 1% rule and know that I want you to be making goals that are attainable. I want you to feel the win, whether it be the win of the day that you created a goal that you were going to write for 20 minutes and you actually achieved it, and then you build on that. So that 1% rule gets that momentum going. But this attainable piece, I got to tell you, is the part of this that I have seen most people fail over the last 15, 20 years doing this work. People are creating unattainable goals and they fail. Recorded. There are a ton of studies out there that says, look, you can go and create a goal in your mind, but the majority of people that just create goals in their mind, they don't achieve them. There are plenty of studies out there that say, if you write your goals down, you are more likely to achieve them. And now that may seem simple, but again, back to what I said about this SMART goals acronym, people see this, they know it, it makes perfect sense to them, and guess what? They don't follow it. So my push to you is to have this, when you're creating your goals, have this SMART acronym down and post it up there and say, look, is this, am I writing it down? Is it attainable? Is it measurable? But this recorded piece, I want you to write your goals down. Now, next to this, and this is not part of this acronym, but I want to take this idea of recorded up a notch. The folks at AWI know that I'm huge on accountability and creating account levels of accountability in your life. So for the people on this webinar, for all of you, I not only want you to write your goals down, I want you to send your goals to 3 to 5 people that you respect and love the most. And that is a level of accountability for you, because I don't think you want to be facing these people and say, yeah, I told you I was going to go out and do this, and guess what, I'm not doing it. So just a little tidbit or a side note to you, just don't write them down. Share them with people that are most important to your life, and then do this. Ask them to hold you accountable. So the last piece is time-based. Put a time frame on your goals. Just don't go out there wandering. And so we talk about this procrastination piece in the beginning of this webinar. Rebecca hit on that. Most people are making goals and not putting a time frame on it. So if you want to lose a certain amount of weight, put a time frame on it. If you want to complete an AWAI course, put a time frame on it. If you want to create a website for your writing business, put a time frame on it for completion of that website. And then send it to people, write it down, and then send it to people, and then ask them to check in with you periodically as you approach that end date. So again, this is a lot of people fail on this time-based thing. It's similar to, they say, I just want to become a writer ASAP. That's not going to get you to where you want to go.
Hey, Ted, we have an awesome comment in the Q&A section from Felicia talking about the Franklin Planner. It used to, she used to chunk out her SMART goals and prioritizing in a time-based method, and something like that can be really helpful if you're not sure. You know, there are, Franklin is one of them. I think there are other planners that do this, but that might be helpful where they have a system in place that you can just pick up and work with.
If I can share our system too internally, you know, we're goal oriented, but we have so many goals that we've focused it this year into a big three. And that is, so we have goals that are SMART goals, but we only have three of them at any given time so that we're not feeling drawn into a whole bunch of different directions. And I love the planner idea. I love what Ted's about to talk about too. I do that regularly, but just, you can make it so simple for your goals for the week even. So you have your big goals that you've set, and then you're breaking them down to like the smaller goals of what you're actually going to do. I literally use a Post-it note, not a giant Post-it note, not a ruled Post-it note, a small little yellow Post-it note. I have a big list on a big notebook that is there on my desk off to the side, but every day I sit down at my desk and I look at my yellow Post-it note and say, what am I going to do today? And knowing that the decisions I'm making today are based on my bigger goals, but it's my little actionable items for today. And that allows me to ensure that I'm always moving forward. So I love the planners. I love, there's like tons of apps now and programs online, but it can be as simple as a Post-it note, just making sure that you know what you're working on when you sit down at your desk that day.
Love it. Love it. I think Rebecca's putting a stamp on what I said earlier. This idea of keep the main thing the main thing, the idea that you only have three big SMART goals as a company is beautiful. And that's what I want you guys to grab on this webinar as individuals. If you're out there with 10 goals, the likelihood of you reaching those 10 goals is pretty low. So smack
it's overwhelming and stressful. Can you imagine trying to achieve 10 things?
It's ridiculous. Again.
That makes you stressed just thinking about it.
Amen. Keep the main thing the main thing. And I really want, guys, want you to grab this. This is a daily thing. So you have to approach every day with certain intention. And so around these goals, like if you could just achieve, you know, they do the talk about this, you know, working 4 hours a day instead of 8 and all this other stuff. But if you could create certain goals around this and only work towards those things every day, you will feel successful by the end of the day. But you have to put this stuff down on paper. All right. Well, this leads us to right into what Rebecca was setting up here, this idea of time blocking. So a lot of people come to me because of my line of work, and they'll ask me to do, whether it be for an individual or for a team, I'll get a call and they'll say, hey, can you come in and do a time management training? And I often tell people, look, and I say the same thing over and over again, look, I can say, say, come in and do a time management training, but it's going to go something like this: manage your time better. So I'm not, just to be completely transparent, I'm not a big advocate of like time management. Now, having said that, there are many tools, the Franklin Plan, somebody brought that up. Look, whatever thing you do to keep yourself organized, whether it's Outlook or sticky notes or whatever, I want you to do what works for you. But I want to introduce you to this idea of time blocking if you've not been introduced to it. So time blocking is just the idea of taking time, blocking off time. Now, this is what I want to say, leaning into the 1% rule. Let's just say that you have 40 hours in a week, you know, just to stick with the whole idea that, you know, the 40-hour work week. All I'm going to suggest to you is that under this idea of keeping the main thing, I only want you to block off 3 or 4 hours a week. And I want those hours, 3 or 4 hours a week, to be focused on the most important things that are going to move you towards your writer's life. Whether it be just writing, whether it be a website, whether it be completing an AWAI course, anything that work, anything that's going to move you in the direction that you want to be moving, I only want you to time block 3 or 4 hours. That's it. Because everything else, this is going to avoid all those, well, I got so much going on and, you know, life hits me in the face every day, or my car broke down, or all the things that happen to you. And here's the most important thing about time blocking. And this is where this is a true story that just happened yesterday. I'm coaching a sales team, and I'm on the phone with one of the salespeople yesterday who I introduced time blocking to. And I asked her, so how's the time blocking going? Well, I blocked the hours off my Outlook calendar, but, you know, my kid was sick one day and I had, you know, certain files and fires were happening, so I had to put them out, et cetera, et cetera. And she didn't grasp the most important thing about time blocking. When you put these blocks of time in your calendar, and I don't care how you put them in your calendar, they don't move, period. And if I'm your coach, I'm just simply going to take, they do not move. So if you're going to block 30 minutes three times a week to work out, guess what? Nothing moves that time. If you're going to block 30 minutes five times a week to write, that time does not move unless there's a real emergency. Somebody's in the hospital, you're down with the flu and you can't move, anything like that, I'd accept that you move the time. Outside of that, I'd be very unforgiving if you move the time. So again, trying to tie all this stuff in a bow, this idea that if you create SMART goals going into every day and every week, and you understand what the 1% rule is, this time blocking follows suit. 3 to 4 hours a week, making sure you understand what the main things are, and then block time, and then simply do not move them. That's it. So this is not a complex or a big time management strategy. This is just going to move the chains in the right direction. And I will promise you, if you follow this, you will move the chains. All right. We're going to run through this idea of war, and then we'll open it up for some questions because I know we only have 15 or 20 minutes. So we use this acronym, and this is what I'll say. This is more of a mental thing, but I want you guys to start to think about this as it relates to procrastination, as it relates to the fear that may be residing in some of you, prohibiting you from moving things forward or sticking to your goals of this writer's life. A lot of people, when thinking about that crisis of meaning and the change curve, we live in this space of always thinking, what's at risk if you do something? So if I block off an hour of time for writing, I'm going to be missing out on X, Y, and Z. Or, you know, if I spend money on pursuing my dream of writing, I'm not going to have money to go on that vacation. Or, you know, we live in this world of the risk. Like always, what's at risk if I do this? If I do this, this is the repercussion. And I have to tell you, I think that's a really dangerous place to live. I also think it's probably the biggest reason most people procrastinate. They're overanalyzing things, and they're living in this space that what's at risk if I act on this? What's at risk if I take action? And what I'm going to propose to you is that is not the most important question, although many people that I've encountered think that that is the most important question, and I'd propose that it's crippling. The more important question is, what's at risk if you don't? And here we're going to go back into that, you know, living life urgently, living life more intentionally. The truth of the matter is, for all of you on this webinar, you have an interest in creating a writer's life, and you have to start to ask yourself, are you living in the space of what's at risk if I do this? I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. I'm not going to be able to do this. You know, I'll fail. There's all kinds of things in your way. And I want you to start to settle into the thoughts that are more important, which is, what's at risk if I don't? Now, I don't want to be dismal or doom and gloom, but I do want you to start to think that if I don't take action to create my writer's life, your life is going to be the same as it is now. And the truth be told, for many of us, when we go to create change in our life, if we're being truthful with ourselves, it's because we're not satisfied with the life that we're living right now. And that's a hard truth, but it is the truth. And so what's at risk if you don't pursue what you're doing, or if you don't create SMART goals and time block and all the rest of it is, your life's not going to change. You're not going to live the most fulfilled life that you could live. And you'll be looking back years from now going, why the hell didn't I make changes? Why the hell didn't I create time to pursue this writer's life? Now, I can tell you that's a much deeper thought, but it's a real one that I want you to start to consider. So before I completely open it up, I can see down here in the corner that Jeff King wrote, the R is normally for realistic in the SMART goals. It is normally in the realistic. I have chosen recorded because realistic and attainable for me are one and the same. And the reason that I choose to use recorded instead of realistic, to be completely transparent with you, I emailed Pam Fawcett this morning and had her made that change on the slide deck here to record it, because I think realistic and attainable are very similar, and recorded is much more important. So I guess at this point we could open it up, or if any of the facilitators have something to add.
So one of the questions from Stephen was saying, what is behind the phrase, the 1% rule? What is the 1% in there?
The 1%, just use that as a metaphor, Steve or Jeff. 1% meaning, like, we're not looking for you to go do 50% or 25%. We really want you to work on small incremental changes. And so it's not 1% when I do 21 minutes of cardio versus 20. It's just the idea of incrementally upping the game. It's not a science behind 1%. It's not like looking at your time and saying 1% there.
Ted, if you want to just go forward to that last slide before the question slide, we did have a recap. If you want to do that, just a recap and an action step for everybody to do that, so they won't procrastinate anymore. What's the first step?
Yeah, the first step for me would be to revisit your goals. To look back, because I'm going to, again, make the assumption that, and if you haven't made it any goals about your writer's life, I'd challenge you to sit down and write down three goals and then make sure that they're SMART and that they're going to be attainable for you. So I want you to be thinking about that, you know, and the goals could be anything from writing a certain amount of time to completing an AWAI course to, you know, all the things that I've mentioned on here as hypothetical things that you need to get done, whether it be a website. Are you on LinkedIn? Are you promoting yourself? Any of that stuff. That would be the first step for me. The second thing right behind that would be to map out 3 to 4 hours in your calendar and start taking action. And I wouldn't want you to wait another day before you started blocking those hours out.
All right, so anybody having questions, go ahead and post them in the Q&A. And then, Ted, if you will just forward to the question slide. Our members are very well trained. Once they see the questions, then they'll have questions. So I think we had just the last slide of the webinar.
Yep, if you want to just go forward, Ted, that's the last slide.
And this is Katie. I've been busy in the questions here. And people get this and are so appreciative already. I want to remind people that This is available for replays too. You know, this is the kind of thing that it's great to check in once a month and just make sure you're still on the path. And of course, if you're coming to boot camp, Ted is one of our MCs, and he starts us off every morning with some marching orders and some great insights, and then ties the whole day up with a bow at the end and is available to chat with and work with and be available and be part of it. So wanted to just make sure everybody is aware of that. Oh, it looks like we do have a couple more questions too.
And before we get to that, Ted, you're also getting some great shout outs as far as this is the kick that they needed. So it was right messaging, right time, right teacher.
Very nice.
Go ahead, Katie, sorry.
Oh, yeah, no, Nick is winning. Nick is asking, how do you win that personal war, that struggle in yourself where the procrastination actually takes over?
Yeah, again, this is that deeper one. My best answer and the thing that's worked for my life is just that deeper purpose. And I know that seems kind of lofty, but I got to tell you, when I talked about that urgency, that's a very real thing for me. And so when I coach people, I often tell them, like, you got to figure out what that is for you. But I use that as a weapon in my life every day. And so when I said, look, you know, and it may sound doom or gloom to you, but the idea of losing my dad at 52 and knowing that I'm turning 48, I have to live with, I can't procrastinate. I just can't. And so, look, and everybody's going to have their own, but I really do believe you got to dig deep into that. I mean, I'll tell you that that's the golden ticket. And I know that seems lofty, but you can't, just, there is no, you know, one size fits all for that.
Ted, I love that you stress, one of the things that you've stressed with us is, you know, really just exactly what you're saying is digging deep and, you know, what is your why? Why are you doing this? And whatever that why looks like, just always have them front in mind, just like what you were saying. And I always encourage all of our folks, just when they're starting, you know, why are you actually doing this? Is it, and it's usually two or three steps deeper than whatever that first quick response is.
Well, I'll go behind the curtains a little bit and take Katie's lead on that, and just to, so you guys understand that I'm not just speaking lofty here. I live in Maryland. I'm flying down to Florida on Monday to spend 2 days at the AWA office, and we're having a full team meeting on Tuesday. And I can tell you, we're going to be spending at least a good hour exploring that as individuals in a room, as a team. And so, you know, we're practicing what we're talking about on this webinar, and we're going to be spending time next week just making sure that we all understand each other and what we're trying to achieve as individuals at AWI. Because if we don't know that about each other, and if you don't know that about yourself, for those AWI members on the call right now, they're going to hear me say at the beginning of the meeting on Tuesday, this is a team meeting, but this meeting really is about self. And so, you know, for all of people on this webinar, I opened up by saying, look, this webinar today, we're going to go doing some basic blocking and tackling. Nothing is going to be rocket science. I will tell you that all of this stuff will fall short if you're not exploring some of the stuff that we're talking about right now.
Ted, here's a pretty deep question, and I applaud Mary Jo for putting it out there. She's asking, how do you overcome the insecurity that you are good enough to write or not good enough to write?
Crazy deep question.
Maybe that's another webinar.
it's what I was opening up, like that's a whole nother thing. And here's what I'll say about it. The biggest thing that I have found is that, and whether it be in my own life or through coaching people, is that right now, what I'd say is that is an unknown. And we're creating narratives in our head that we're not good enough. And so going back to, and not to sound cliche, but going back to that 1% rule, you're not going to know if you're good enough until you start submitting some writing samples and getting some true feedback about how your writing's landing with people. And so the unknown for those of you at boot camp, I talked heavily about this. The unknown is a beast, and that unknown creates wild stories in our heads and prohibits us from moving forward. And there's probably, I shouldn't say probably, there's not a person on this webinar, to include me, that doesn't have those narratives in our head. And so relative to what we've talked about today, you have to take action, small incremental steps, and get clarity. And what I mean by getting clarity is, guess what? Your writing might not be good enough right now, but you don't know specifically why it's not good enough. So until you get real feedback about that, whether that be through writing samples to potential clients or getting feedback from the folks at AWAI, it's still an unknown. And so you're not going to overcome that fear until you get clarity. And you can't get clarity without taking action.
If I can add to that too, that idea of good enough is so vague even. Because what might be good enough for one company might not be good enough for another company. What might be not good for one company might be gangbusters for another company. It's such a funny thing. We can all read a same piece of copy, and it can land with all of us completely differently. And so we have systems called peer review. We have systems called CUBA for evaluating copies that we can try to get a guess for how good the copy might be. And we talk about some 80 by website, but so there's that like what Ted was saying, getting clarity, getting feedback, you know, doing the things that you know you have to do so that you're at least trying to move the chains on your skills. So if you're taking the accelerated program, have you turned in the final assignment? Did you get the feedback? If you did, that'll at least help you get a little bit of confidence, like, okay, my feedback was good. I'm at least good enough to pass this course. But, you know, we've incorporated a lot of verifications into our various programs. So those of you taking the badges program, or if you finished the accelerated program, there's a test at the end that you can take. We put that in there for two reasons. One, to help you market yourself when you do pass the program, when you have the skills, you can put the badge on your website. You can use that as a marketing vehicle or a tool for your marketing piece, your proof. But the other part of it was personal for you, to give you the confirmation that, yes, I am good enough to proceed. I've mastered the skill, just like you would in anything else, right? If you've taken a class in anything in life, if there's something at the end, some form of test or quiz or something that says, yes, you've mastered the concepts that we hope to teach you. So there are other things that you can do like that, like Ted was saying, taking action, that can help you gain that confidence in your ability. But just keep in mind, with anything in life, if you're trying, if you're studying, if you're learning, you already know more than people who have not taken that course or that read that book or whatever it is. So good enough is still such a vague thing. It again, might not be good enough for one person, but it might be way, way better than enough for another.
One more, just quickly, so because there's some more deep ones, so I'm going to space them out a little bit here. John is just asking, what is the purpose of sharing your goals with someone in your life?
Accountability. So what I tell people, I have accountability partners in my life, and AWI folks know that I talk about this often. Whether you call it a mind trick or a hack or whatever you want to call it, when you share your goals with somebody, there's just a certain thing that gets built in there, a level of accountability. Now, the one thing that I want to make sure that you grabbed is that, so for example, if I made a goal, and this is true, this happened to me, I made a goal of starting a blog some years ago, and my wife held me to a date that I was going to do my first post. So she knew it. She was my accountability partner. And the truth be told, I probably wouldn't have got it done had I not had her riding me. And so the idea of telling people in your life that you're trying to achieve something and asking them to hold you accountable and check in on you, I just think it adds another level of accountability. So I often say, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And I just think you need partners in this journey.
Carolyn wants to know if you have any words of wisdom regarding fear of success.
I think you have to define what success is. And you know, without diving deeper into this, I don't know necessarily what you mean, Carolyn, about fear of success. But for me, I was pretty specific about what I wanted to achieve when I went out and created, you know, in my own right, my writer's life 8 years ago. fear of success for me was always, what if this thing gets too big, or what, you know, do I want that? And so I've just literally defined what success is for me in my life, and I've settled into that. So fear of success, the way I've encountered it with the people that I coach, is they're like, well, what if I get big, or what if I am doing this thing and I get overwhelmed with that? Or what if I lose myself because I start making too much money? And I don't know if that's what you're referring to, but that's what I've come up with. And I think the only answer to that is you got to be pretty grounded in what you're really trying to achieve. Katie and Rebecca will tell you, you know, we're approaching 4 years now. And the very first time I sat with them, the first question that I asked Katie and Rebecca is, what are you guys trying to achieve at AWAI? And we had to dig into that before the work even started.
Great.
I don't know if that helps, because I don't really know the context of that. But
no, I think that that's very helpful.
It's interesting, though, because I did talk to one of our members recently who I wanted to do a case study on. And I don't want to name her name, but she said, I'll do it, but I can't tell you how much money I'm making anymore. I used to share with you, and now I can't. I'll tell you, but I won't tell your audience. I'm like, why? She's like, honestly, I'm so embarrassed. Like, if somebody finds, if any one of my friends or my neighbors or my former colleagues finds my name and sees the story, I can't take it. I can't deal with it. It's really uncomfortable how much money I'm making these days. And she's making $500,000 a year now. But she's like very uncomfortable because she was in this $60,000 job, which she loved, but wanted something different. And so she took a different path. And it's funny, she genuinely fears the success that she has now. So I do get that sentiment of how your life might change, how people might think differently of you. Will you think differently of yourself? There's a lot of head games, like Ted says, that go on as we become more successful. And then the fear of losing it, you know, that builds up as well. What if I do this great thing? Now it's going to, it's a whole different conversation I might have with myself. Like Katie said, these are some pretty deep conversations we're having. And I'm glad that Ted is here to help us have them, because that's, again, one of the greatest gifts I feel that he brings is even clarity in that, in the stories and the things that we say to ourselves and about wanting to succeed, about wanting to move forward. So I'm glad that this conversation is happening today.
Yeah, I'll tell you, we could be on with this webinar for another couple hours, because my mind is spinning. But if you know that I could talk about this stuff all day, because I just think it's so critical to living a fulfilled life. But this success thing and the money thing and all the rest of it is a huge thing, and it's no different in my own life with my own business. People ask me all the time, when are you going to write the book? Why don't you grow your business and all the rest of it? And my answer is, I don't know why. And if I can't answer why, right, then why do it? And so you really do have to be, you have to know what you're trying to achieve. Now, next to that, I think what Rebecca brought up about this idea of, you know, I would coach anybody, don't play small, right? So, you know, if you do achieve success, you want to share your success with other people. So, and I struggle with that, by the way. Tim, who's on this webinar right now, he and I had a conversation about that. My wife is always telling people, you need to tell people, Ted, that you live true to yourself, that you do this important work, and you've made a lot of money doing it. And I'm like, oh, I can't tell people that. But we need stories like that in our life, because it can be done. And that is a huge thing for everybody on this webinar. But, you know, just, you know, to wrap it up, because I know it's 2:00. For the purpose of this webinar, we want small incremental change. We want you to understand that there is normalcy in traveling along that curve. We want you to create smart goals. We want you to time block, and we want small incremental steps to get to where you want to go. And once you start feeling that win, once that serotonin starts going, we think you'll catch some momentum.
Oh, there's a lot of questions coming in.
Yeah, we have a lot of questions. One thing, yeah. I wanted to quickly...
I'll pay for 10 or 15 minutes if people want, but it's up to the crew.
Yes, please.
That's
we
great.
Try to answer all the questions. We will try to type as fast and furious as well.
Ted, can you hear me? It's
yeah.
Pam. Yeah. I just wanted to add something about that amazing quote you said, if you want to go far, go together, and you need partners in this process. If you can find other writers, because I think... people in your regular world don't get what we're trying to do here as building a writer's life. They're like, what do you mean not work at a job every day? What do you mean work from home? What do you mean work from anywhere? That's crazy. You know, so they might not really get it and support you in the way you need. And so it would be awesome to find a peer group or a couple of buddies who are also in this copywriting journey. And we have Facebook groups for that too. If you look up on Facebook, Online Copywriters, for example, that's a group that's open to everybody. And you could post there and just say, hey, I'm new at this, but I would love to find someone else who's new at this and we can work through it together. There's such a power in finding other people who are doing what you're doing. And so I just wanted to add that to finding people you can work with together. I used to be part of a group and we'd email each other once a week. How's it going? And can you look at this headline? Or, oh, I just got a client to call me and I don't know what to do. And so we have each other's backs. And I highly, highly encourage you. It will help you with that procrastination if you've got other people understanding what you're going through and working through it together.
I love it. And here, this is going to sound like a plug, and it's not. It's the truth. Get to boot camp. And I mean this. I stood on stage 2 years ago and opened up boot camp, and one of only 5 points was my hope for everybody in that room was to leave that three-day experience, leaving that this journey was not theirs to go on alone, because it's not. And if you're traveling alone, then you're not doing this the right way. And so boot camp is an excellent way to meet kindred spirits, people that are facing the same type of fears, people are doing the same type of activity. And if you came to boot camp and did nothing else but met three partners to travel with and keep in touch with, you'd win.
Nice. So other questions?
A couple people are asking about where to start or what's the best program or how do you start actually building business? You know, we do these inside AWAIs every single month, and if you go to the page on our home on our website, you type in inside the AWAI, you're going to see probably at least, I always get the number wrong, but there's a lot of them. It's probably 30 or so by now, and we do deep dives into all these very specific questions. And I really want to just encourage people to go there instead of us just typing out fast answers right now, because we spend a whole hour on, okay, what is the best next step? How do you pick a niche? How do you find clients? How do you get clients coming to you? How do you create a personal web roadmap? Those are just a few of the topics that we've spent the same kind of time and attention and to detail that we're doing here today. So if you have any questions about what to do next, how to get started, how to start making money, start there, and then you know, check in with member services or reach out to Rebecca, Pam, or me, and we'll be happy to continue the conversation. But you'd be doing yourself a tremendous advantage by starting with those presentations that are available for you. So it's awai.com/inside-AWAI, and you'll see the whole list there. And it'll be a fun weekend. Mm-hmm. I see Julie's asking, just to repeat the phrase, create urgency. Is it for purpose? Is it intentional? I know, you know, you had a phrase that you used around that whole creating urgency idea.
No, necessarily with specific phrase, but what I said was that I live with a high level of urgency, and I just think that most people, when they think about urgency, they connect that with stress and overwhelm and the rest of it. And for me, urgency, as I've evolved in my own life, urgency has created a tremendous amount of intention. And so I'm actually living a much more calm and balanced life because of urgency, because I do have an urgency. And so I feel urgent to touch people's lives through my work. I have an urgency to be a present father. And so I lean into that stuff every day. And what I've found is through urgency and intention that I'm actually a much more focused person.
I get that. Yeah. And I've seen it you live it. And that's the thing with Ted once you get to know him. You know, he lives what he says. You know, talk about walking the talk. That is Ted Capshaw.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I remember saying this exact thing the first time I was humbled enough to be asked to speak at boot camp, and I was on the stage and I said, I'm unwilling of people not willing to jump in the pit and create the life that they want. And so if Katie says, that's Ted Capshaw, well, I am unwilling because I know that, you know, my business mantra for those of you that don't know me well is to help people and companies grow before tragedy. I don't want anybody on this webinar to wait. And so you talk about procrastination. It's not fluffy when I tell you start today to create the life that you want. Nobody's going to create it for you. And so that unwillingness for me comes from a spot of, man, I never would have dreamed in a million years that I'd be sitting where I am right now. I get passionate about it, and I just want everybody on this webinar to know, like, you can create the life that you want. And AWI is a fantastic platform to help you do it.
All right, guys, okay. We're at the end of the time. So are there any last questions? We'll do a last call for questions. Please post them now. Otherwise, we will, you know, we're happy to continue these conversations. Inside AWI is really driven by what you need and want most. As Katie mentioned, we have tons of these webinars over on the Inside AWI page. If you're brand new to all of this, I saw some really, really brand new questions. I recommend that you watch the one about the blueprint. If you search for blueprint on that page, it really shows you all the steps that are necessary from really understanding what this opportunity is even all about and how copy and content are used and the millions of companies who are looking for writers. It walks you through all that. It even walks you through setting financial goals and your big why and things like that. For those of you asking questions about which programs to take and how do you narrow it down when there are so many bright, shiny objects, I recommend the webinar on creating a roadmap that will help you figure out where you're going and create a plan that you can follow so that you won't be distracted by the bright, shiny objects along the way. And there will be so many of them on your path to wherever you're going, not just programs, but eventually projects and clients. Like Ted was saying about the book, people are saying, why don't you write a book? Why don't you write a book? He can't answer the why. So right now, writing a book is just a bright, shiny object. It's something he could do, but it takes him off of his path of where he is right now. So creating that roadmap gives you clarity so that you're not feeling like you're busy but not making forward progress. It ensures that every step that you're taking, the three things that you write in your post-it or in your planner or whatever it is, are actually moving you forward and not just things that feel good or keep you busy, but really actually move you towards those goals. So if you have any requests for Inside AWI, if it's a theme like this, if it's a spinoff like this, if this raises a different question that you'd like us to tackle, just email me at askrebecca@awai.com, and I will make sure that we cover it in future sessions. All right, guys, lots of thanks and shout outs. Ted, they love you. We love you too, and I can't wait to see you next week. And with that, we're going to call this one closed. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you, Ted.
Have a great week, everybody.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye, everyone.